Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Welcome to another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Misty Vanderweel of All Dahlia'd Up Farm here in Palmer. Welcome, Misty.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. A couple quick announcements for Farmland Trust first. This Saturday, June 1st, is our big kickoff event of the summer, Drink Beer, Save Farms, with the Ken Peltier Band at Paradise, Alaska. Tickets are on sale, brownpapertickets.com. Ticket price doubles day of the event if we haven't sold out yet. Ticket sales have been very strong, so I encourage folks to get over to brownpapertickets.com and get your tickets. It's a family-friendly event. Great big outdoor space for kids and families. We'll have barbecue provided by FFA. We'll have local libations, including kombucha and beer and water and cider, all sorts of good stuff. New this year, bring a jar of peanut butter to get your name in the hat to win a free tractor rental from Craig Taylor Equipment. So bring a jar of peanut butter. All the peanut butter is going to get donated to the Food Bank of Alaska, and your name will be entered into a hat to win a free tractor rental from Craig Taylor Equipment. Super cool, huh? Who couldn't use a tractor?
What? Peanut butter.
Peanut butter, you know what? When we partnered with Food Bank of Alaska, they said one of the most universally needed and easy to eat, consume, store foods is peanut butter. So sometimes it's easier to tell people what to do than to just say bring a can of something. Then they end up with all sorts of mixed items, but they always can use peanut butter. So we're excited about that. Thanks to Craig Taylor for their generous donation of a tractor for the event. Also, quick reminder, this is a plastic-free event. Bring your own pint to drink out of or buy one of ours, but there will be no plastic cups. So bring your own or buy ours. Ours is great this year. It's green stainless steel pint with a ceramic wrapping. We love those cups. People seem to love them, but plastic free. So that's all for that for now. Let's jump into All Dahlia'd Up Farm. Misty, you've been a guest on the show before, but in case listeners didn't hear you last time, let's start the same way we always do. Tell me how you got to Alaska. Tell me how you decided to be a farmer in Alaska.
Well, I got to Alaska in a 1969 Cougar. It was a Ford Mercury car.
Okay.
I was born on the Glen, off of the Glen Highway in the farm driveway.
Really?
So that's how I came to Alaska almost 50 years ago.
Okay. Very good. Yeah. Your parents had been here for a while.
Yeah.
And that's what was an accidental in the driveway birth, I assume.
It wasn't planned. Yeah. So my parents, my father's parents homesteaded Peters Creek Valley.
Okay.
And my mom's parents homesteaded the Willow Creek area on Hatcher Pass side over there.
Oh, very cool. Okay.
And when they put electricity into Willow, my mom was a senior in high school at the time.
Okay.
And all the women every Friday, all summer long, would take lunch down to all the men working to bring power into Willow. And that's how my mom met my dad.
Oh, cool story.
He was in his 20s, you know, laborer and making sure Willow got power.
Very
cool. So that's
kind
of how that all happened.
Okay. Yep. And did you grow up knowing that you wanted to be involved in a farm someday?
Not at all. My parents, my biological parents had divorced. And then my mom met somebody else, and they decided to do the hippie lifestyle for a while. And so no running water, no electricity. We grew our own food, made our own soap. My mom made our clothes. All my first grade outfits were all handmade.
Wow.
And so I just kind of grew up always in the dirt, playing around, and I always loved flowers and plants. And But my first job was working at Jacobson's Greenhouse when I was 14.
Oh, wow, okay.
And so that kind of gave me just kind of the bug of growing.
Sure, a little taste of, what you can do here.
Yep.
And I think Alaskans, this has been my perception since I've lived here. I actually just did the math the other day. I came up Memorial Day weekend of 05. So I didn't do the math, but I had an anniversary weekend of some sort. But anyways, one thing I've noticed since I've been here is how committed to their gardens and outdoor space Alaskans seem to be. Why do you think that is?
Because
the winters are so awful?
Yeah, I think our winters are so long, and we have a short amount of summer, and everything is so green and so grows bigger, and it's just one of these things that gets under your skin, and you get to spend time outside.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of it, really, to spend time outside with your families and gardening, and, you know, it's a little bit of hard work, but other than that, you mean, of course, you can get into expensive landscaping, but it's pretty economical.
Yeah.
So I think that's I bought a packet of seeds and go to town.
Right. I bought a new house. I'm in a new space, kind of experiencing my first spring in this house. And there is a whole garden bed of forget-me-nots, and they're just amazing. And they keep coming on, and I'm really wowed by them.
Early spring in Alaska.
Yeah. It's something, isn't it? Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. So All Dahlia'd Up Farm is your operation. And again, we've talked about it a little bit before, but you've got some incredible stuff going on there. You were just telling me as we walked into the studio together that you have how many plants planted?
I just finished planting 1,200 dahlia plants this morning.
1,200.
Yep. It took me 2 days to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
Over the weekend, though, I had, I call it a planting party, and I invite all my family and friends that would like to come help me get all the other kinds of flowers in. And we started out with sunshine and ended up pouring rain, but it was so much fun. We had a blast.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for that, I couldn't, have the energy to put my dahlias in. I still haven't been able to outsource that yet because I can't quite give up the baby.
Oh, okay, sure.
So that's my special thing. But this year I was kind of thinking about, to bring on some help maybe next year. And so what's that going to look like, that sort of thing. But like I said, I still can't give up the dahlia part. I'm all dahlia'd up flower farm.
Right,
right.
So that's your specialty is the dahlias, but the other flowers that you're growing and that you let people help plant this weekend, what are those?
Oh, my goodness. So we have snapdragons. We have stock, which is a bad name for a beautiful-smelling flower. Sweet peas. I grow amazing long-stem heirloom sweet peas. Sunflowers, all kinds of, I think I have 10 different varieties this year I'm growing.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah, all kinds of, I hate calling them filler flowers, but accent flowers that help fill up an arrangement and really make other colors pop.
Yeah.
All kinds of test flowers this year. And, of course, our new kind of star right now is our tulips.
Oh, yes.
Back in October, I planted 8,600 tulips in the ground.
Say that number again?
8,600.
Holy
okay, see, this,
crap.
These numbers, they seem big, but I can already tell you it was not enough.
Yeah.
This is our last weekend at the South Anchor Saturday Market with our tulips. I mean, 4 weeks are gone.
Wow. But people love them, don't they?
They really, really love them, and I learned so much. So I'm ready to plant more, I think. But so we had early spring, and then the tulips, and I think May is trying to break me. I really do. I really do.
I'm obviously in the business of talking to quite a few farmers, not just through the radio show, but just through the work that I do. And I had one person describe it to me as it's like finals week this May. It's like this sustained, hardcore, can't put enough hours into the dirt. It's so tiring and so wearing you out. Can you see the light at the end of the tunnel? Are you close?
Yes, actually. So, this is my first year I'm actually taking advantage of what's called succession planting.
Okay.
And that's planting another planting behind your first one.
Sure.
To basically kind of fill in the gap there. And so it's my first year, so I have my whole second planting going in next week.
Okay.
Granted, it's not as large as the first one, thank God. So that's my first. So I should have some more continuous of some of the great flowers that people are wanting and expecting now of me. So I'm excited about that.
Awesome. So. Getting back to the tulips, I say this all the time, but maybe I haven't said in front of you. I kind of have black thumbs. I'm not a gardener myself. Those forget-me-nots in the yard, I didn't even know they were there. They were just a happy surprise. But tell me about tulips. Is it one flower per bulb?
Correct.
So you planted 8,600 bulbs and got 8,600 flowers. It's like one for one type of...
Pretty much. I mean, you're going to have some culling, as they say.
Okay.
Not everyone's going to be viable or usable. And of course, depending on what the biggest thing that I learned is the quality of the bulb means quality of the flower.
Sure.
And that was so apparent this year. I'm the type of person, I jump into both feet, then I start learning.
Yeah, well, so sink or swim.
And so that's how I learned the best, I guess. Beat my head against the wall. But anyway, I would have liked to say, I got 8,600 tulips, but I planted 8,600, but that's not as what I've gotten. But like I said, big learning and learning works here and what doesn't. And in my, where I'm particularly growing them, there's some challenges with that. And so I'm learning. I'm excited for, like I said, I'm ready to order some next year because I know what to order now. I know, you know.
And so those will be planted, you said, in like in the fall, right? October.
Yeah.
There's some gnarly weather in October. You're up against some stuff.
Well,
huh?
The thing with that is they're grown in a Quonset Hut greenhouse with a dirt floor.
Okay.
And so that's why you're able to get a jump on that blooming time.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'm not worried about that. Yeah. I can plan up until November in that in that hoop house. So the only problem with that is by October I'm done.
Right.
I'm ready for the flowers to go night.
Yeah.
need a break.
Yeah. Quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Misty Vanderweel of All Dahlia'd Up Farm. We just talked a little bit about the tulips, your new endeavor this spring, and they were beautiful. I remember seeing the pictures. I had a friend that's kind of loosely connected, didn't know a lot about your farm, but she saw you post one day that you were selling some tulips from the farm, and she was so excited to go get them. And she said to me, I can't believe how long they lasted compared to store-bought tulips, right? Like, and it's like, well, no kidding, they're fresh, right?
Yeah. And it really is, and how when you harvest them and how you store them, it really is. It plays, that all plays in consideration.
So again, for those that don't know, and I'm one of them, are you digging up all those tubers, like of the tulips, or do you have to start with new?
No. Well, what's interesting about growing tulips as a cut flower or an annual, as we call it, is you pull bulb and all.
Okay.
And when you pull bulb and all, you make sure you're just seeing a crack of color on that bud.
Okay.
And doing it that way, they can last in the cooler for a month.
Oh, okay.
But the minute you take that bulb off,
and you
that's
cut it,
when they
right.
start opening. So okay. when by the time you get stuff shipped here, the bulb's already been cut off.
Right.
So that is why they don't last as long as when you buy fresh.
Okay. But you cut that flower off of the bulb, and the bulb's done and
it's
thrown
done.
Away. Okay.
It's so done. Because you took away its nutrition.
Okay.
The flower, as it decomposes and puts all that life force back into that bulb.
Okay.
But I'm not doing that. I'm cutting that off.
You're cutting it off. So you're starting with all new bulbs this fall.
Year.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
okay. Which is different from your dahlias.
Correct.
Your dahlias are a tuber that you put into the ground just now, this time of year.
Well, I don't do it that way.
Okay.
I start my tubers back in March inside in pots. Other than that, because...
Oh my gosh, you're planting them twice. Oh my gosh.
You plant them twice and then you dig them up. It's
so
kind of nuts.
Work.
but as far as planting them in pots, that's kind of easy.
Sure.
It's planting them outside is the challenge.
Sure.
Then you're planting plants, not just a tuber, you know? So the work is a little different.
Yeah.
But if I don't do that, I don't get blooms until the end of July, beginning of August. And as you know, here in Alaska, then summer's done.
Yeah.
I have 4 week season then.
Right.
So this way I get
blooms back in
starting.
March. Back in March, you took them out of cold storage.
Yep.
They were in some sort of cold storage.
Mm-hmm.
You put them to bed for the winter.
Yep.
You put them in pots and let them... How much plant growth is coming up out of the dirt when you put them in the ground this week?
They're about 8 to 10 inches tall.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of
and
careful
they've already been,
work.
And they've already been pinched as well.
Okay. What does that mean for
that
those
means
of us
you,
that don't know?
You go up 3 or 4 sets of leaves, take out the top, so the plant will start branching at the bottom, and so you'll get more blooms.
Oh, okay. Very good.
It takes, I found if I do it that way and versus waiting till they're outside, they just get a bigger jump on the bloom time.
Okay. All right. So they're going into the ground this week. And when will you see your first flowers?
We start seeing our first dahlias at the end of June.
Okay.
Normally.
So not that long.
No, they really, I can't really start saying, hey, we have dahlias until about mid-July.
Okay.
That's when I can guarantee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow. So much work. And then with those dahlias, one tuber, how many flowers?
Oh my gosh! It depends depending on the variety.
Okay.
I mean, you can get anywhere from 100 or more stems per plant.
Really?
Some are about 50. If it goes under 50, I don't bring that variety back.
Wow.
Because we have a short season.
Yeah.
And I sell the cut flower.
Yeah.
So.
You want to get as much as you can out of each plant.
Yeah, and it's hard sometimes because some are so beautiful.
They're
it's
so
hard
beautiful,
to like,
yeah. But you're not pulling your weight. I got to throw you out.
This is a business. And the minute I stop thinking of it as a business, I'm done.
Sure, right. How many, maybe an unfair question, but do you know how many different varieties of dahlias you're growing now or this year?
Mm, I had that number, I think it's around 34 different varieties.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. I'd have to look back, but yeah, I'm thinking 34.
And I'm sure you're always trying new things, bringing in new varieties.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
What time of year? So if we're cutting dahlias July and August, you're putting everything to bed, you're putting those tulips in the ground in October, you take a little break at some point. At what time, is it like January, is it February, when do you get out the seed catalog or the tuber catalog and start dreaming again?
I'm already dreaming
about next year.
It's hard, especially now because the states, they're already getting blooms, and I'm on Instagram seeing all their flowers, and I'm like, they already got sweet peas, and some, like, California's already harvesting some of their first dahlias, and it's like, I just start dreaming then, and I start writing down.
This is what I want. Mm-hmm. This is what I want. Oh, that's interesting. That's very cool. So you've got all these different filler flowers going, the sunflowers and all the things that you talked about. Tell listeners how they can get their hands on your flowers. What are options for people here in Palmer that want to get some of those flowers?
Well, I'm pretty excited. Always before, if I did a pop-up here in town or if I did Friday Flings or a Monday market, I'm paying somebody or myself sitting there all day long.
Sure.
Versus if I sell those flowers in 5 hours in Anchorage market, I'm not standing there so long and I'm selling out. And so I've always kind of fooled around with the idea of having my own flower market on farm.
Yeah.
And so that's becoming a reality.
Oh, very good.
And so I don't know when I'll be able to open. I'm hoping July is my goal to open that. We ran into some difficulties with some mud and things before because we couldn't set the building just yet. But I have the building. It's an old building that I'm refurbing. We probably should have started over. But anyway, long story. So that should be open in July. And so I'll be open Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. You got to follow me on Instagram and Facebook. Hop on my newsletter list and learn when that's going to be open. And people can come out and buy flowers on farm.
Wow, incredible. Yep. And will that look like pre-made bouquets, loose flowers?
Yeah, they'll have pre-made bouquets. You can call ahead for arrangements to be made because I do design work.
Yeah.
And you'll have, Alaska made things in there. A little bit, not a lot. Mostly stuff I do.
Yeah.
My pendants, my flower pendants, maybe some swag, that kind of thing. But it'll be pre-made bunches and some arrangements, and you can call ahead.
Very good. So follow All Dahlia'd Up on Instagram and Facebook to learn more about that. For folks that don't know, your farm is pretty easy to find right here, right out of Palmer. You want to give people a little idea of where they're going to go to get their hands on this stuff?
It's just past the Palmer Fairgrounds, if you're leaving Palmer, on Interspringer Loop.
Yeah.
I'm right there. I'm only 0.3 miles down. You cannot see the flowers from the road. A lot of people drive around for hours. Where's the flowers? Well, you can't see them from the road, and that's kind of on purpose.
Sure,
But you will be able to see the building and the flower market, and I'll have a flag out there that says fresh cut flowers or something, something creative, I'm sure.
Very cool. So you said Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Yep.
Does that mean you won't be going to South Anchorage Farmers Market?
Nope. I hired my daughter, and so somebody's always going to be at South Anchorage Saturday Market.
Yeah, that's a good spot to be, isn't it? Anchorage customers are very loyal. Maybe I'm just going to throw this at you a little bit. I had a local Palmer resident kind of corner me recently, and she said, I don't understand why we can't get more farmers to sell their products here in Palmer. Why do they all take their product to Anchorage? And I said, well, it's really about economics. I said, the South Anchorage Farmers Market, during the peak of the season, there are 1,000 customers an hour, 1,000 unique customers from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can't really get that same quantity in Palmer, right? I mean,
That's
worth
the unfortunate. It is so worth going there. The farmers are already busting their buns to make sure the product's going anywhere.
Right.
And so when like I said, you can stand for 5 hours and make 4 times much more money than you can stand somewhere around here for 8 hours.
Right.
And so that's what it comes down. It's a business. And for us to feed our families and send our kids to college and do everything that we're supposed to do,
it's got to pencil out.
We have to be able to bring in the money. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Well, this person was involved with the Palmer Friday Fling, and she asked me if I had any, creative ideas for incentives, ways to get farmers to sell product at the Fling. And I said, unfortunately, when I worked at the Division of Agriculture for 10 years, we worked with multiple different Friday Fling managers to try and figure out a solution, but at the end of the day, you just can't compete with the numbers of people, right?
No, you really, really can't, and that's kind of what my goal was.
We're thankful that Palmer's the small little community that it is, right?
Well, that's really, really true, and that's where, I'm actually in a position that I can have a, on-farm, market.
Pop-up,
But not everybody is, and not everybody wants that.
Some people want a day off.
Well, that's really true. And so, I mean, I have to think ahead now. I'm going to have people coming in all hours thinking, oh, this is Tuesday. No, I'm only open Thursday, Friday. So I'm going to have to have a gatekeeper. You know, I had to have better insurance. That's the whole thing, you know. And the minute you have people come on your farm, changes things.
Changes the game.
And so that's why it's only 3 days a week.
Yep.
And there will be, you know, signs up when I'm not working, you know.
Yeah, closed.
Yes.
Closed means no. Well, that's true, though. I mean,
it's true.
Everybody deserves a day off, as do our farmers. And your farm is oftentimes your business, your home. Yep. It's where your family is, your pets, all those things. And inviting people into that space is, you know, a bit of an intrusion. And
It kind of is. You know, in my situation, since I grow flowers in my yard, I can't have dogs running around. So I can't say only female dogs allowed, not boy dogs. You know, I can't do any of that. And so people think automatically, oh, I can bring my pet. So I know that's going to be kind of a challenge. Please, if you come, don't bring your animals.
Yeah. Yep.
Just because, I mean, I have a dog, but she knows better. She knows where to go or not to go.
Yep.
And so that's kind of, you know, it's kind of those ideas.
Well, I'm excited for the opportunity for you, but we'll see how things go.
Right.
You know, I had Ann Crane Kell from Sun Circle Farm on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about how they, you know, they don't have their farm stand anymore, and or they've reduced it from 2 days a week down to 1 day a week, I guess, and how critical her customers have been. And it's just, but it's a matter of, you know, like you said, needing a day off, needing your own space, and the economics of going into Anchorage just make more sense at this point.
Well, it really, really does, you know. But my flower cooler is right there. Flowers aren't vegetables. They're not. They're a completely different crop. You know, I'm married into a big vegetable farm, so I know this. I always have a conversation all the time, you know, like, oh, put in 40 acres of flowers. I'm like, you don't want to kill me, do you? Flowers aren't vegetables. They're not. A vegetable, you cut it once.
Sure.
Then you're done. Flowers, the ones I grow, you can cut all summer on.
Yeah.
And so 40 acres would kill me.
Right. We don't want that.
No.
Nope. Another quick reminder to folks that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and joining me in the studio this morning is Misty Vanderweel of All Dahlia'd Up Farm here in Palmer. So you'll have the farm stand this year. You also are kind of getting to be pretty well known for your farm tours and your vase to dinner, et cetera. Are there still tickets available for any of those?
I think there's only two tickets for September 8th.
Oh, my goodness.
And they've been sold, and then the refund, and then there's a list. And so you'd have to go look. I could be sold out this morning. I haven't looked this morning.
Okay.
But yeah, I've only done two a year in the past. This year I decided to do three.
Okay.
I might go back to two just to,
you
know, just because of time and all that. But we'll see. A lot of people, they want to, you know, that early summer and then August, but September, they're like, oh, that's too close to fall, you know, but there's still flowers. Dahlias are the queen of autumn. And I look forward to having a more of a fall type of, you know, venue, that sort of thing. And, and but yeah, they are very, very popular. I love to educate people about Alaska grown. We do have a caterer. The requirement for a caterer to work with me is they have to use Vanderbilt Farm vegetables or anything to get their hands on that is Alaska grown, eggs, meat, that sort of thing. And because I like to promote that, because more money that stays in Alaska, the better off we're all going to be.
Absolutely.
Of course, then people can actually see, you know, where their food comes from, where their flowers come from.
Right.
People really want the experience. They want to see where it all comes from. And
they love to get their hands on. That's part of your experience too, right?
They you get to make your own bouquet to take home. And that's usually the highlight. You know, I let them loose in the flowers. They can take pictures and stuff. And then you go back and make your own arrangement with flowers that have already been cut. You know, I walk you through that. And some people just want to make flower crowns and put in their hair. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just a fun time. But yeah, that's my favorite part too, getting your hands on the flowers.
Are you catering to any brides or private events with your flowers?
Yes, I do have an a la carte menu for flower, like flower florals, wedding florals, that sort of thing. I have one wedding scheduled on farm this year.
Oh,
I will not
be
taking any more on this year. I have a very ill mother, and so I wanted to not have so much other stress going on because weddings are stressful. But I already committed to a couple of weddings, and so I'm like, oh, we'll stick with the one, and then... Maybe next year.
If a person just wants to come be amongst your flowers, maybe for a photo session or
it's $50 an hour for up to 10 people.
Okay.
It has to be pre-arranged, obviously.
Because
since I'm cutting the flowers every 3 or 4 days, when you first cut them, there's not many. And then all of a sudden they come on again and you cut them again. And so you want to time it just right as far as when you want your photos done.
Absolutely. And all of that information, I assume, is available on your website. about how, you know, how to contact you, et cetera. You want to remind folks what your website is?
It's alldahliaedup.com or mistyvanderwill.com. And yeah, you get my newsletter, you can sign up for that. I've been kind of neglecting that lately because I've been kind of really busy. But you get on the list and you're usually the first to hear about anything that, yeah, that's happening.
The events and the dinners and things like that. Yep. Misty, what is, and this is a difficult time to answer the, or to ask this question because it's that finals week time for all farmers when they're stressed to the gills about getting everything in the ground and everything. But apart from that sort of stress of being a farmer, what is like the biggest pest or what's the biggest thing that you're up against as a flower farmer here in Palmer?
The weather.
Dang it, if only we could control the weather.
Freaking wind.
Oh, the wind. It's been kind of gnarly.
Yeah. It just comes up out of nowhere. But right. Yeah, it's the weather. Wind. Wind is my biggest nemesis.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Moose trouble?
No, they'd rather have cauliflower and broccoli.
Oh, yeah, in the neighbor's field, right?
Right?
Okay. All right.
Yep. I saw a rabbit this morning, and I told Glenn, he eats my flowers. Oh, he'd be gone.
He's out of here. No bunnies allowed. No bunnies welcome. And, you know, you're in the business of a beautiful product. Obviously, flowers are so inspiring, and you can just probably sit and look at them for days. I know I have a flower basket. We saw each other on Mother's Day getting our flower baskets. Mm-hmm. And I can just sit there and look at those flowers for hours. But is that what inspires you, the beauty of the flowers and just sharing that beauty with other people? Or what is it that keeps you going at this point?
At first, it was keeping my son's memory alive because he's the one that started me with my very first dahlia. And it gave me that first year after he passed away and grieving, it kind of gave me a kind of a new look on life. And maybe I could do this as a business sort of thing. And when I found it was a sort of thing and I started growing, and you know, it's my sixth flower season.
This year is my sixth year. Wow. Congratulations.
And, yeah. Thank you. But it really is. It's that sharing of that beauty and then being able to go out in the morning with my cat and my dog and cut whatever I want and make my own arrangements to bring in the house or give it to a friend.
Yeah.
It's that sharing of that and the environment and the lifestyle get to live.
Yeah. You were pretty lucky, aren't you?
Oh, my goodness. I pinch myself.
I bet.
I really do. I don't take it for granted at all.
No. Yeah, no. I bet. And put on those magic goggles for a second. Tell me what you think the farm will look like in 5 years.
Oh, my goodness. I've thought of that because this is my last year of my 40s, and so I'm coming on to 50, you know, and so I'm kind of, what do I want that to look like in, you know, in 5 years? I kind of think that maybe a grandchild running around playing and playing in the flowers.
And does Jenna have an interest in the farm?
Matter of fact, this is her first year that she's working for me.
Okay.
So last year when she graduated high school, she's like, I don't think I want to work on the farm. That's
sure.
cool,
yeah,
whatever,
go
you
away,
know.
Then come back.
Right. And she'd fill in for, you know, stuff here and there. And then when she realizes she can make more money with mom, I think that's kind of, you know, a broke college student going, doing the math, you know. I get to live at home. Then I'm live right there where I work, you know. And this is, let's see, we're going on 3 weeks of her working now. Mm-hmm. She did her first market this Saturday. She did a great job.
Good.
So impressed. So
that's
proud of
her.
And, you know, we've butt heads a couple times,
well,
but
course.
We're both, you
that's
know.
Natural.
But we definitely be sitting down and hashing some more of that stuff out.
Yeah.
She's definitely a natural born leader.
Oh, that's
and,
awesome.
And, you know, the minute, you know, she starts pressing on me a little bit. It's like, okay, first of all, if you want to
leave, boss.
Yeah.
You're, who's signing the paycheck
here? Yeah, right. So if you want to grow your own flowers, that's great. But that sort of thing. But no, we're doing really great.
Well,
really
are. And that's exciting to think that she would be interested in the future. And
Yep.
Do you see, we're getting the signal that it's almost time to wrap up, but are there any sort of flowers that you want to add to the mix? Anything that you want to try down the line? Or you think in 5 years you might have something different going?
No.
Are you right where you want to be?
Right,
just more varieties.
More flower. Definitely the tulips.
Yeah.
I want to get more of a, you know, a hold on that a little bit more, but really keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't have plans on growing any bigger as far as that. What I kind of do have interested is the agritourism side of things.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I'll be doing some fun little things in the future around all of that. But I'm not going to, you know, say what those are just yet. I got to test because what they're, you know, they're doing stuff down the States we're not doing up here. And I'd love to do some of that.
Awesome.
That's kind of where my brain's at.
Yeah. Well, stay tuned and join Misty's newsletter. Follow her on Instagram, Facebook, social media, et cetera. All dahliaed up flower farm here in Palmer. Thank you so much for joining me and telling us a little bit more about your operation.
Yeah. No, I love it.
All right.
Talk about it all day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.